The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. NMLSConsumerActivist.org. In refinance, total refinancing charges may be higher for life of loan.
Portions of this edition of the Don Crow Show were pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
It's time for the Don Crow Show, right here from the WAVAFM Passport Auto Group Studios. Now, the Don Crow Show.
The Don Crow Show is brought to you in part by Passport Auto Group Stores. As an essential business during COVID-19, Passport is ready to meet your car buying or servicing needs and do it with complete safety and security from one of their 9 convenient locations. Whether it's a video walkthrough of a vehicle you're interested in or purchasing a vehicle either online or in the comfort and safety of your own home, check out the superb services waiting for you at PassportAuto.com. That's PassportAuto.com. Hello there, folks, and welcome to this edition of the Don Crow Show. You got it, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 each afternoon. Just together and talk about some of the things going on in the world. Some pretty tragic and sad things we know these days. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure many of you continue to carry a heavy heart over the tragedy out of Minneapolis and everything that's been flowing out of that across the country. An innocent man, George Floyd, murdered last week by a policeman. Never should happen under any circumstances, but we have intentionally here on the show sought to bring some highly respected voices to these microphones, especially from the African-American community, to speak to some of the serious and systemic issues that really have to be addressed if we're ever going to be able to find true healing and hope for our country. Case in point, we had Bishop Darlington Johnson yesterday, president of the Bishop presiding bishop of the World Outreach Ministries International, a pastor of Bethel World Outreach Church, City of Hope in Olney, Maryland. Next hour, we'll talk with Dr. Alveda King, also with Dr. David Ireland of Christ Church in New Jersey. Bishop Harry Jackson will be here on Friday, and some other people with significant things to say that we want to hear from as well, including right now, my own very dear friend, longtime friend, and my own pastor, Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr., pastor of First Baptist Church of Glen Arden in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. He's kindly agreed to share his heart with us. John, thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you, Don. I'm honored to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, as I've said to Bishop Darlington Johnson yesterday, John, I feel completely unqualified as a white American to even begin to speak to the issues the way that people like you and others can, and that's why we need your voices at times like this. You and I have talked about these things in private. There are some folks, I remember years ago asking you about those who dare to say, well, you black community, you should just get over this. Slavery's over, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it's not over. So speak to this systemic problems from your perspective that I know are breaking your heart, and what can we do to begin to move past this?
Wow, you said a lot. You've asked a lot, but let me begin by saying how important it is for the Anglo community just to acknowledge it. You know, that goes a long way, to just admit that there are things that are going on that are just not right. They're not righteous. That would be a huge, huge start in the right direction. That's been the thing that's probably been the most painful, that these things have been going on for years, and some of the leading evangelical voices have been silent. They have not spoken to address it. They have not challenged the systematic things that have been just put in place to be at a disadvantage to people of color. And that would be a huge, huge step in the right direction.
You meet with some of these people in private. I certainly would never ask you to name names, but when you talk in private with some of these, because you're at that level, God's raised you up as an international leader in the evangelical world, and I know you meet with a lot of these people. Is there any kind of resonance, at least kind of off the record with them, or do they get it?
You know, what it boils down to money, Don. I hate to say it, but that's the reality. They're afraid of, many are afraid of offending people. They're afraid of losing support. They're afraid of their resources drying up. And what that says is that it makes money the god of their lives and not the god that we serve. So most of them are afraid of losing support and losing the respect of other people for standing up for what's right.
I would say it's time for the Caucasian, the white community, if you will, the non-black community, to begin to speak to some of these people from our perspective and call them out on this, so to speak. Rather Bishop Johnson and I talked about it yesterday, the analogy between the fact that even though they've come lately to the battle, the evangelical world has finally come and engaged itself in the pro-life movement, as they should have years ago. But he, I think, used that analogy that this is what needs to happen when it comes to these racial issues. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Without question. He spoke truth. Because the reality is, the truth is that we should stand up for righteousness all the time. And we should condemn unrighteousness regardless of what arena that it's in. We should be for life both while it's in the womb and after the womb, after they're born, we should be for life. So it's unfortunate that some people have a perspective that's different than that. But slowly but surely, many are coming around and recognizing that. And in light of this thing we're facing this week with George Floyd, it's clear. I mean, for the man to put his knee on this man's neck until he couldn't breathe anymore, it's just
horrible.
And this creates anger and frustration on our community's part. So,
talk and we do have wonderfully a better mixed audience here at WAVA than folks might imagine. We have a lot of Hispanics, we have a lot of Asians, we have a lot of African Americans, we have a large Caucasian community, an audience that we really welcome and we treasure. So I'm going to ask you to speak to sort of both sides. If you could gather up all the non-black people in the audience and say something to them about this issue and where to from here, what would you say? And then also to your own African-American community, what would you say to them?
Wow, you want me to preach a sermon here in about 30 seconds, right?
Well, we got a little longer. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing I would say, firstly, as I've already said to the Anglo community, speak up.
Yeah.
Let your voice be heard, not just at the murder of this man, but there are so many other things. Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia was shot and killed after being tracked down by a couple of guys in a truck.
Yep.
Somebody said to me, or at least I guess one of the shooters said that he approached them or charged them. I guess if I had somebody aiming a gun at me, I'd charge too.
Yeah.
What else was he supposed to do when you see people tracking him down and following him and aiming a gun at him? What else was he supposed to do? So, but the problem with that case is it took 74 days for them to file charges. That's unheard. I can't get it. And the reason was his friends were in the prosecutor's office. They were people that knew him. The brother, the father and his son, they did not file charges for 74 days because they were his friends.
Wow.
That's a problem. That's challenging. It's painful to hear that this man died like that. So, and I would say to our African-American brothers and sisters how important it is for us to become, number one, involved in the political system. I'm pushing our church members. We need righteous people in positions of authority.
Mm-hmm.
We need people, and that's true of the Anglo community too.
Yep.
But I'm just saying we need to be involved in the process and in the political system that shapes the rules and laws of our community. We need to be a part of that, engaged in it, supportive of it. We need to be voting. We need to be running for office so that righteousness will prevail. And I would say that. And also, we need to let our voices be heard. But we direct our anger by changing the people who are making the rules and not following the rules or whatever the case may be. We express our anger not by looting, but instead by making ourselves known in the political process.
Well said. I wish we had more time, but thank you for these moments, my friend. Thank you very much. We'll have to do it again.
I love you, man. Thank you so much for having me.
I love you as well. Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr., senior pastor at a great church, as many of you know, Upper Marlboro, the location of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. We're going to talk with, not Alveda King. We're incredible story coming up, folks. Incredible story. I just got the book today. This man is from Voice of the Martyrs, been with him for years. He's just released a book called Imprisoned with ISIS, Faith in the Face of Evil. Peter Jazik joins me in a moment, and we're going to talk with him about his book and his experience.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
Hi, this is Christy Moore, broker Local Expert Realty. For almost a decade, you've been hearing me on WAVA encouraging you to work with my team when you decide to sell your house. I've met and worked with hundreds of listeners over the years, and I'm grateful to be a part of this family. During this time of crisis, when we are unable to do business as usual, we are still talking with clients over the phone or on video chat to prepare them to sell their house for when our life returns to a new normal. During this time, if you'd like to call me and discuss preparing your house for sale, or just want to know someone is here to support you during this uncertain time, I'm happy to do just that. Otherwise, please know that I'm thinking of my friends and listeners with WAVA, and I'm here to serve you whenever you need me. God bless, take care, and stay healthy.
To book an appointment with Christy, call 866-404-5858. That's 866-404-5858. One more time. 866-404-5858. Did you know that right here in America, every day more than 30 million children rely on school for food, eating breakfast or lunch, often both at school? But with schools closed and summer programs shuttered, many families will be hard-pressed to keep their children from going hungry without help. For more than 100 years, Save the Children has been meeting the needs of children and families all around the world and right here at home, every day and in times of crisis. And right now, with your help, we're making sure that children get the nutrition they need until school's back in session. Your gift of just $100 can provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one day for 10 out-of-school children who are in need. Just call 888-884-4836 with your gift, would you? Your one-time gift of just $100 will feed 10 hungry children through Save the Children. That toll-free number is 888-884-4836. That's 888-884-4836 or online at WAVA.com.
Hello, Chuck with A-Action. This summer, your AC will use more electricity than any other appliance. So get a $69 efficiency tune-up and prevent unexpected breakdowns. You'll get performance specifications of your electrical components. We'll also check your refrigerant levels, pressures, temperatures, and much, much more, both of your indoor and outdoor unit, while practicing proper social distancing. 703-922-1900.
We're Diamond and Silk, and we have a new book coming out called Uprising.
The Awakening of Diamond and Silk.
It's about how we overcame poverty and hardship by not letting anyone else define who we are, what we can do, or who we are supposed to vote for. And guess what? You can do it too.
That's right. And we want you to hear our personal story for the first time.
Uprising by Diamond and Silk, coming August 18th. Pre-order at Amazon or wherever books are sold.
The Don Crow Show on WAVA. It was supposed to be a four-day visit. It turned into a 445-day imprisonment. And if God had not intervened, he would have been there the rest of his life. Now, those are the opening words on the inside jack of a powerful new book by Regnery and Salem Books entitled Imprisoned with ISIS, Faith in the Face of Evil. It's the incredible story of my guest right now, Peter Jacek. He has been with the Voice of the Martyrs. We love that ministry and, of course, talk often with the folks there. But he has been their global ambassador for a number of years, traveling the world. In fact, he was in ministry and traveling on behalf of the VOM when this all unfolded. But it's a powerful story that just getting the book today, Peter, it just pulled me in already as I started to read it, and I welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's an honor for me to be on your show.
Now, you grew up in Soviet Czechoslovakia. Your dad was a pastor. And I suspect there's some connection as to what your country went through and perhaps what your family went through that maybe ended up preparing you, though you didn't know it, for the events that unfolded in this story?
Absolutely. Having experienced the persecution under the communism, you know, since my birth in 1963 till actually the 1989 when we experienced the so-called Velvet Revolution, I felt it as a privilege, you know, being once helped by those, you know, who were taking care and smuggling Christian literature into, you know, communist countries, risking their lives or imprisonments, and having been freed from the communist dictatorship, I actually always felt it as a great honor and privilege to serve the persecuted church. In fact, you know, in Czech Republic, or it was still Czechoslovakia in 1992, when we were have founded the Voice of the Martyrs in Czechoslovakia at that time. So, you know, it just documents that our concern was for those that were still persecuted. And, of course, that was a very good preparation. You know, I remember when my parents were just released after interrogation when I was a high school student, you know, a freshman at the high school, and, you know, hearing their experiences, how they were being interrogated and exchanging that information was actually a very good preparation for me. But later on, you know, I had a great privilege also to interview, help, and prepare projects for persecuted believers who have not only lost their material things, but who have also lost their beloved ones. But also I met those who I consider heroes of faith, those who have also lost parts of their own bodies because they didn't want to renounce their Christian faith. That was all a very good preparation for me.
Well, I can't imagine picking a place that would be much worse than where you ended up getting arrested, and that's how the book opens. Many of us know at least a bit about the terrible conditions that have been decades long in Sudan. Finally, in recent times, this brutal Bashir has been dethroned, if you will, but not until he took millions of people's lives. You know that better than I. And in fact, you had been in that country, as I gathered from the book, a number of times. This was just going to be another trip that you were there on behalf of VOM and then go home to your family, right?
Yeah, you know, I have visited the country of Sudan when it was still one country many times, you know, before. Sometimes we were going very close to the front line, you know, where there was fighting. But, you know, in 2015, that was supposed to be a routine trip after the countries got separated. You know, we focused on the persecuted Christians in northern Sudan. And, you know, I have met previously in October 2015 some Sudanese pastors who informed me about the persecution of individuals as well as the whole congregations in northern Sudan. And that convinced me to go and visit and verify those persecution cases and also to bring a practical help for some of those who needed that help.
What happened at the airport that night that you were so excited that you were going to soon get on that plane and get back home to your family again, and you expected it to be just another routine through the airport, through security and home, but what happened?
In fact, being a frequent flyer, you know, with SkyTeam airline group, you know, I decided to leave the hotel just 1 hour before the departure time. The hotel was very close, so I was holding the boarding passes for my flights to Nairobi, Amsterdam, and Prague. And in the moment when I just turned to the, passport control, the secret police arrested me, confiscated my cell phone. That was the first thing they took of me. My camera, video camera, laptop, all equipment, actually, including some external hard drives. And, you know, it was quite obvious that, I was going to miss my flight. And then after missing my flight, you know, when I heard that my name's being called, you know, that I'm delaying the flight, you know, and then being transferred to the headquarters of secret police, almost 24 hours interrogation followed after this arrest. And that was, just the beginning of the long journey that then continued after these 24 hours interrogation, being transferred to the first out of five different prisons that I went through in these 445 days.
And yet God used you to lead others, even members of ISIS, to Christ, as well as give you peace once this whole thing settled in. You realized you weren't going home right away. Talk a little bit about what you went through mentally and emotionally, but also how God used this for the salvation of others.
Yeah, to be honest, for the first 4 months, I was so selfish and I was so concerned about being released and going home. I had the first 2 months very difficult because I was taken, I was actually put into the cell with six other members of Islamic State. You know, the life with them was very difficult. Not only that I lost 55 pounds in the first three months, but also I lost a lot of blood. You know, I could say I lost half of my blood literally through internal bleeding. And that brought me to the point that I could say that the Lord taught me the lessons, the lesson that Paul is describing in 2 Corinthians 12:10, you know, when I am weak, then I'm strong. And I, in being absolutely at the bottom of my physical and emotional strength, you know, I was able to share the gospel also with the enemies of the gospel, you know, who were slandering me with bad words, limiting my freedom, and later on beating and torturing me. But I was able to share the gospel in my answers. I was not supposed to talk when I wanted. I was just supposed to answer their questions. And I remember the time when I was so much concerned about maybe losing my sound mind because, you know, I was beaten from all sides and in all these difficult situations. But I was asking the Lord to give me the right words to answer their questions so that they could hear the gospel. And they did hear the gospel. Eventually, you know, even though there was these guys were very cruel, strong, young men, you know, highly educated, it might be surprising for some people. There were doctors, pharmacists, engineers, IT specialists, but one of them was a special guy because he was called a man of sword. And I thought it was because he was, since his 12-year-old, he was 12-year-old, he was a personal bodyguard of Osama bin Laden. But the true title of being a man of sword, he got from being the one of the executioners, those who the Libyan guys who were beheading the 20 Coptic and one African Christians on the Libyan shore in February 2015. So those kind of people were with me. But the Lord gave me the strength, you know, not only to witness to them with my words, but also to witness with my own life. And I can tell you honestly, it was not me who was able to turn the other cheek when they were beating me into face. It was Christ in me who managed to turn the other cheek to them. And later on, after the 4 months, you know, that were so selfish, you know, and I experienced time in a solitary confinement, being tortured by the guards with freezing air. But When I was transferred to the next prison, my spiritual eyes got open because at one evening, you know, they brought 12 Eritrean refugees whom I was able to share Christ with, and they responded positively to that. And they rejoiced that night because we could not sleep. We were squeezed, maybe 50-plus people in one small room with probably 25 square meters. And the next morning, after they dedicated their lives to Christ, they were transferred to a different prison, and I could not see them there anymore. But my spiritual eyes were open, and I said, Lord, now I know why I had to be in prison for these 4 months and one day. And after that, my whole attitude changed. I started to use every opportunity to share the gospel. And of course, you know, again, the punishment followed because preaching the gospel to Muslims is illegal outside the prison, and it was illegal inside the prison as well. So they put me in solitary confinement, but the Lord was in control the whole time. And the wonderful thing and the lesson, the Lord's sovereignty, I have learned because, you know, I was in solitary confinement, but I had a visitor from the Czech embassy, you know, and bought me a Bible. And after 5 months of not having the Bible, suddenly the Lord started to prepare me through the private Bible study, you know, and I was reading so fast, and so I was so thirsty that I finished reading, standing at the window from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., the Bible from Genesis to Revelation within 3 weeks. But that was all only the preparation for the time in the next prisons where I was able to preach the gospel to absolutely hopeless, desperate, and forgotten people.
Well, Peter, we must have you back. I would love it if we can arrange to have you back for an entire hour because we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg of your story, but could we do that?
Absolutely. I will be. I will feel honored to do that.
All right. Julie will take make that arrangement with you. But thank you, my friend, so much. There's so much more we need to learn from you. But thank you for encouraging and challenging us with your story and your book. God bless you.
Yeah. God bless you, too. Thank you.
Again, that is Peter Yashik. And the book is called Imprisoned with ISIS, Faith in the Face of Evil, just released by Regnery and Salem Books. Get a copy.
Like the fire in a stove, anger can be constructive when properly directed. But if we don't limit and control our anger, it can very easily become destructive in our lives. There was a time when my anger almost destroyed me. I was unfairly accused, and at first I pretended that I was fine. But the anger I claimed did not exist crept out in biting remarks toward the people closest to me. Eventually, I had to stop playing games with myself and admit I was angry. I decided that if I couldn't beat my anger, I would join it. I took my negative energy out and redirected it toward something positive. Romans 12 and 21 says, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Instead of spending my time getting bitter, I decided to invest it in getting better. For me, this meant going back to school. For you, it may mean going back to the gym. The point is, you can take your pain and turn it into gain.
We welcome you to visit us online at gracechurchva.org, where you can receive free downloads and view more about Dr. Greer and Grace Church. Again, that's gracechurchva.org.
HD radio listeners can hear WAVA-FM on 105.1 FM HD1 and hear us on our mobile app and on radio.com.
Land ho! hey, seriously, land ho, guys. Guys, land ho! Land ho! Land ho! Land ho! Right there!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered with Sign and Glide on-water towing. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
I gotta say, this land-ho thing, not very effective.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliate. Sign and Glide coverage is subject to policy terms.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio.
While visiting Sudan in 2015, Czech native Peter Jacek was arrested for his work with the Voice of the Martyrs. The conditions were terrible, and Peter suffered from severe anemia, which made his memory fuzzy. Despite this, the Holy Spirit continued to bring Bible verses to mind that he had memorized years before. And after 5 months, he received an amazing gift, a Bible. He was hungry for God's Word. He went from cover to cover in just 3 weeks. May Peter's story cause us to cherish the Bible in our hands so God can write His Word in our hearts.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To learn more about Peter's story, request your copy of his brand new book, Imprisoned with ISIS, at vomradio.net.
Partly cloudy tonight, the low 69. Times of clouds and sun tomorrow. It'll be hot and humid. Caution is advised if you're doing any strenuous outdoor activities. The high 94. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. It'll be warm with a shower or thunderstorm around, the low 73. Thursday will be hot with intervals of clouds and sunshine. We'll see a shower or thunderstorm around in the afternoon. Thursday we'll see a high of 92. With the AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
The following is a program that was heard earlier here on The Don Crow Show and was pre-recorded for broadcast at this time. The Don Crow Show on WAVA. One of my favorite guests coming up, Victor Hansen. When I first read a bit of his column, The Doctrine of Media Untruth, I was reminded of a couple of verses of Scripture out of the Bible. Isaiah said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who turn darkness to light and light to darkness, who replace bitter with sweet and sweet with bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." I don't know that Isaiah was writing about modern-day media, but he could have been, in my view. And then the words of Paul came to mind out of Romans. He said, "Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie." Well, in this recent and fascinating column that I just cited, The Doctrine of Media Untruth, my guest says, as a general rule, when the New York Times, Washington Post, National Public Radio, Public Broadcasting Service, NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, and CNN begin to parrot a narrative, the truth often is found in simply believing just the opposite. Put another way, the media's truth, in quotes, is a good guide to what is abjectly false. Wow. Well, joining us to talk about it and explain his reasoning behind this, Dr. Victor Davis Hansen, the Martin and Illy Anderson Senior Fellow in Classics and Military History at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University, author of a number of great books, his latest, The Case for Trump. That's available, by the way, at Basic Books at basicbooks.com. Of course, your regular bookstores, Amazon as well. His own website for his private papers is victorhansen.com. Victor, always good to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you for having me, Don.
Before we get to this first question, I want to get your assessment of the tragedy in Minneapolis, the murder of George Floyd, and the aftermath of mayhem and destruction that's now following. What were your own reactions initially, and what are they now?
Well, I think we were all shocked at the expression on the policeman's face as he put the knee for 8 minutes on George Floyd's neck. It was unnecessary, and it led to his death, obviously. And we were, I think, encouraged that the county attorney and city attorney moved very quickly to charge the officer in question, and then the president ordered a federal civil rights investigation. The state is involved. So the wheels of justice are turning very rapidly, and he'll face justice for that. And I also thought that something's wrong with Minnesota in general, and Minneapolis in particular. It's a blue state, blue state attorney general, blue mayor, liberal police chief. And yet just 4 years ago, an Australian white woman was shot by a black officer, and then 2 years later, a Latino officer shot a black suspect, both whom died. And so they have this high-profile interracial shooting, and something's wrong with a one-party state, as I can attest from California. As far as the tragic protests that turned to looting and arson very quickly, I thought that the Baltimore mayor four or five years ago, Mayor Reynolds, had said that she'd given space for those who wanted to destroy was sort of an outlier. But when I heard the Michigan governor use that exact phrase, I wanted to give people space. And the mayor said that brick and mortar didn't really matter when they burned down the police precinct station. Then you get the idea that this is the first riot in my 66 years that I can remember local and state officials either being indifferent to the damage that occurred early on or almost kind of contextualize it or apologize for it. And then when I read that the mayor of New York's daughter was arrested trying to resist police, or that the state attorney general, Keith Ellison, had disseminated Antifa material, and his son, who's a city council member, was tweeting support for Antifa, and the daughter of the governor of Minnesota was reported to reassure people when the National Guard would come and protesters had to make the necessary adjustments. I've never seen any Orwellian situation quite like that. And that's, and now we have all of these cities that are falling apart, and they're all in liberal bastions, and yet the people in control don't seem to be on the side of the small business person that's the lifeblood of their cities. And they're contextualizing or apologizing or appeasing the protesters, looters, arsonists, whatever term we want to use. It's very strange. And I wrote that other article before all this about the media. But when you have the media go full Baghdad Bob style, where a building will be burning and the CNN commentator will say there's no evidence that this is a violent protest, or when another national news person has sort of sidestepped looters as a cross between him and the camera, and he says that this is not violent, it's Orwellian. And so I know it's an election year, and I know that the left is doing to this disaster what they tried to do with Mueller and impeachment and COVID and the economic lockdown. I understand Joe Biden has some problems with the black community, and he's promised a diversity candidate, and he's trying to mine this tragedy, and the Democratic Party is. But it's something that I don't think any of us have quite seen the react. We've seen more violent, deadly riots, but we've never seen authorities so indifferent to the terrible toll it's taking on these cities.
And talk before this first break, and then we'll come back to your other article about Antifa, because the president this week's on record as declaring it a terrorist group, officially and formally so, I assume. What will that do, and is it not long overdue, perhaps, that they be identified for who they are? And are they not, many of them, funded from foreign sources? George Soros, case in point?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a disconnect here that we get the idea that the oppressed were in need of economic parity, but yet when you looked at the looters, the inner city looters, they were taking Louis Vuitton bags and expensive sneakers. And then when you saw this elite group of Antifa, for the most part, I think you could say white elites, and they were out organizing arson and directing strategic attacks on particular stores, you got the impression they don't want a felony on their record. And if we crack down on them and we start to subpoena their records and find out that they were coordinating via email and the federal mails or whatever cross-state, interstate methodology they were using, they could face conspiracy charges. And as we know from the two sisters who firebombed the policeman, these are elites. These are people with very good jobs, and they sort of masquerade as weekend warriors and social activist protesters. But once they get hit with a felony, a career-ending felony, I think that'll have a lot of deterrence.
We'll take a break, come back, and talk about the column we started with, because it still merits our attention as the doctrine of media untruth. But I did want to get some good insights, as we just did from Victor, on this tragedy that continues to unfold even today.
We'll be right back.
I did this weird thing as a kid. I would fall asleep with my blanket completely over my head, with only my mouth and nose poking out the side. I guess I liked the protection that the blanket offered, while still being a fan of breathing. I think a lot of us are feeling that way today, juggling how to handle the protection that our homes give us, with a desire to get out and breathe a little bit. At our Faith and Family Mortgage Team, we don't have the end answer on how to best handle our current world, but we are pretty good at mortgages. If you're thinking of getting out and making that new home purchase you've been dreaming about, our company's Direct Lender Advantage can often get you a lower rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Or, if you decided to hunker down at home a bit longer and want to use that time and some of your home equity to do some sweet home upgrades, our Direct Lender Advantages may help with that too. We our United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
UMC Mortgage Company, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. In refinance, total refinancing charge may be higher over life of loan.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. U.S. stocks shook off continued social unrest and ongoing tensions with China to finish with modest gains once again. The Dow Jones Industrials rose 267 points. The S&P 500 moved up 25, and the NASDAQ Composite added 56. Several financial stocks gained ground. American Express was up 2.4%, Citigroup up 2.8%, while Goldman Sachs added 2.1%. The company's CEO announced that Marriott International has reopened all its hotels in China, and that stateside hotels that stayed open have crossed the 20% occupancy threshold and continue to see bookings increase. Stitch Fix is cutting 1,400 stylist jobs in California, about 18% of its workforce. The online retailer and wardrobe styling service says the layoffs will take place between now and the end of the summer. At the same time, though, it said it will eventually hire some 2,000 stylists in places around the U.S. that have a lower cost of living. Laid-off workers will be given opportunities to relocate. That's Your Money Now.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
You're more focused than ever on keeping your employees and customers safe. Cintas has the products and services you need to feel prepared. Our Cintas technicians can apply our disinfectant and sanitizer spray throughout your facility. Our UltraClean service for restrooms uses a sanitizer effective against certain germs, bacteria, and viruses. And we'll help you stay well-stocked with hand sanitizer, face masks, and essential PPE. Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. Army National Guard. Aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, it's Chuck with A-Action. This is a message of faith and hope. I've had my share of challenges. There were times I didn't know if I'd make it. I recall Matthew 6, where Jesus told his disciples, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? So don't worry about tomorrow, for God has his plan for all of us. Be thankful, fellow Christians, for we live in the greatest God-favored country there has ever been. Through God, I trust, will not only prevail, but thrive."
Continuing our conversation with Victor Hansen, his column that I'm citing is from AmericanGreatness.com, The Doctrine of Media Untruth. And as I quoted earlier, put another way, the media's truth, in quotes, is a good guide to what's abjectly false. And Victor, you juxtapose two excellent cases, I think, that of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo versus his counterpart in Florida, Ron DeSantis, as making your case on this point that really, if you want to believe the media's reports, just reverse what they're saying, basically, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at the media coverage of Governor Cuomo, you think he would be an adroit, skillful state executive. But when you actually look at the data, the state of New York has had more deaths per million than any nation, major nation in the world, and of course, more than any state. And even out here in California, that's mismanaged. It has half of our population. It's got about six times the number of deaths. So it's been an ungodly disaster characterized by the governor sending, you know, infected people into very vulnerable populations and long-term care homes, as well as, you know, sort of losing his temper and becoming frenetic and demanding ventilators and tent hospitals and hospital ships and then not needing them and misallocating resources and being very unsteady. And yet, somehow he's transmogrified into being a sober and judicious executive. We're here as Governor DeSantis has just very quietly decided that Florida is a very diverse state, as is New York, and he's going to have local solutions. Some places are going to be locked down, some aren't, and he's balancing the economy versus the threat to public health from the virus. And Florida's got about 1.5 million people more than New York, but its case rate, its death rate per those infected or per the 1 million population, just a fraction of what New York, and yet the media somehow tried to demonize him as some conservative Republican who's threatening the country's health. And this is all juxtaposed now in retrospect, Don, and this kind of paradox where the blue states and the media believe that if you go out and burn something without a mask or you destroy or protest without a mask, it's not a public health threat. But just 2 weeks ago, if you went out to start your business and create something to provide revenue for the federal treasury and you had a mask on, then you were somehow a public enemy. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. This whole catastrophe is very depressing when you look at the health and the prognosis for America, because we've got some very strange people in charge of large swaths of our public policy at state and local government.
And, of course, that compounded, as you've pointed out here, by a almost, I guess, totally compromised media. There is really none of the mainstream media that you can consistently rely upon to tell the truth of the matter, but invariably they write and report from a political agenda. They have a visceral hate for this president, and they've been totally co-opted, it seems to me, by the liberal left. Is that saying it too extremely?
No, I think it's understating. I think they have fused with the Democratic progressive agenda. And it's not just you or I saying that. Remember, the New York Times, Jim Rutenberg, wrote a column by saying that the old rules of disinterested journalism no longer apply in the age of Trump. You have to be biased. So did Christiane Amanpour at CNN, that you just can't report neutrally on Trump. I think that, the same was true of the people at Univision. Jorge Ramos said, I just can't be unbiased. Trump is so bad, I have to be an advocate, a partisan. He said that. I think they haven't been shy about that. They feel that their noble ends justify any means necessary to destroy Trump, and they're not at all sorry. They still show no remorse with these crazy walls are closing in, bombshell, supposed disclosure that any day Mueller was going to indict Donald Trump, and he was clearly guilty of Russian collusion. When the whole thing blew up, is almost a pathetic coup attempt by the Obama administration leftovers during the transition, that they were trying to remove a president. They have no contrition. They don't apologize. They just move on to impeachment, and they moved on to COVID, and they moved on to the lockdown, and now they've moved on to the protests. And they just can't allow Donald Trump to finish his constitutionally elected term, and they can't allow him to have a fair shot at putting his case before the people for re-election. And they feel that they're not going to allow that to happen.
And then you give us a litany of people that they have cut a lot of slack for, if not totally inverted the truth of the matter. The gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, Stacey Adams, Michael Avenatti, Bob Mueller, Adam Schiff, and then what they did contra to Devin Nunes, et cetera. Comment on that for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, very quickly, I read the Washington Post tough piece on Stacey Abrams. When I got done, I would have thought that she was part Elizabeth Taylor and part Madame Curie. And yet when I went back, and I didn't know much about her, I found out till recently she'd owed $250,000 in credit card and IRS debt. She'd never been elected to a statewide office. And she was still complaining about a transparent election that she lost by 50,000 votes. And then when I looked at Adam Schiff, I realized that for a year he systematically lied and said, my team has had no contact with the whistleblower. They had all the time. They cooked it up with him. And they had testimonies from Brennan and Clapper and McCabe and Comey that they knew were you know, accurate because they were under oath, and they were exactly opposite of what these characters were saying to the media. They were saying to the media, we know that Trump is guilty of collusion, under oath to Schiff's committee. They were not. Schiff knew that, and yet he suppressed the information. And so, yeah, it's and then the Schiff memo was completely fraudulent, and they ran with that and damned Devin Nunes, and we found out that a Democratic inspector general confirmed all of the major arguments in the Nunes memo and rejected all of those in the Schiff memo. And then Robert Mueller, we thought he was a god. They thought he was I don't know who, but cross between Lincoln and FDR or somebody. And he came into the with the Dream Team, the All-Stars. They were incompetent. They were partisan. They found nothing after 22 months. It was a complete waste of time. And then he testified before Congress. He didn't even know what the Steele dossier or Fusion GPS was, the source of the entire Russian hoax. And he seemed like he was almost in a Joe Biden state of enfeebleness, mentally addled. And yet we've been told that this guy was a pillar of the Washington establishment. And I could go on, but it's very depressing to see this media and this culture and this elite just deliberately fabricate and invent things because they feel that they have an anointed agenda, that we and the we deplorables and irredeemables and scum or dregs, as Joe Biden called us, or clingers, just can't get it without their help. And so they feel they have a license to, you know, fabricate things.
In this last moment, nowhere, you say, has the doctrine of media untruth been more helpful than in following Trump during the coronavirus epidemic. I mean, they have been brutal on some of his statements, but take a moment to tell us about your thoughts there.
Well, you know, it's very strange because they just hated the travel ban, and now you can't find anybody who said, right. Oh, I wish Trump had not issued that travel ban.
Yep.
And then they said that he was a quack and he had no business talking about hydroxychloroquine. And now we're starting to get the first blind studies coming out that it has the efficacy, like he said. And then we were told that how dare he compare COVID to the flu and that it's going to be a million or a half million. And we don't know how many will eventually tragically die. But it does look more and more like a 1957 or 1968 flu season, not a catastrophic 2 to 3% of every 100 infected dying. So if he's erred in any fashion, he's tried to be fair to the deep state bureaucratic medical establishment and to the left and gone halfway. And in retrospect, he probably shouldn't have gone halfway. He should have trusted his instincts and his own advisors. But he wanted to be magnanimous. And I think in some ways that allowed for this lockdown to continue far beyond what was necessary.
We need to talk again. Thank you, my friend, very much for what you write and the chance to talk with you about it. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, his website is his name, victorhanson.com. And anything he writes is provocative and insightful. And as I said at the outset, often they make you go to the dictionary, but I love his way with words. And they have content and meat, if you will.
Did you know that according to the federal government, having as little as $20,000 in revolving monthly bills meets the definition of excessive debt? And the latest numbers indicate as many as 4 out of 5 Americans fall into this category. Hi, I'm Mark Livingstone with Cornerstone First Financial, and if these numbers are accurate, then 80% of the people listening to my voice right now should listen very carefully. With the massive rise of equity in homes across the country, now totaling $5.7 trillion, your home can be used to pay down that debt or eliminate PMI, which may save you hundreds of dollars every single month. Let us help you wipe out that excessive debt with just a phone call. We guarantee we'll meet or beat any competitor on this very station, or we'll pay your mortgage for an entire year. Some restrictions apply. Our number is 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221. And our website is cornerstonefirst.com.
NMLS ID 183265, consumeraccess.org.
WAVA-FM is heard on HD Radio at 105.1 FM HD1. Or on iHeart, TuneIn, and now on radio.com.
Dr. Robert Jeffress has never been one to back down. Instead of running away from tough issues, Dr. Jeffress accepts the challenge head on.
The way you preserve, the way you influence your culture is not becoming like the culture. It's by living in a distinctive way from the culture.
Hear what bold biblical teaching is all about. Listen to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress weekdays on its new time at 7 p.m. here on Life Changing Talk Radio 105.1 FM WAVA.
AActionHomeServices.com. Plumbing, electrical, heating, and air. Serving D.C., Maryland, and Virginia daily. 703-922-1900.
We're here for you 24 hours a day. 105.1 FM WAVA.
Modern day deception of Satan in the world today is to blur sin.
Dr. Michael Youssef.
Once he blurs sin, there's no need for grace. If he can deceive people into believing that
God is in all of us, and therefore each one of us should be guided by his or her own feelings, then there's no need for grace.
Be challenged this week on Leading the Way.
Weekday mornings at 2 a.m. and 11 a.m. on WAVA.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. I want to just encourage you to tune in to our program every day. If you're struggling with some area or someone you know is struggling in some area and you'd like to be able to give them some good, godly advice, maybe we can help you with that here on New Life Live. We're right here on WAVA 105.1 at 1 p.m. It's part of life-changing talk radio. Come join us for New Life.
He alone is your rock and your salvation. He is your fortress. You will never be shaken. A reminder from 105.1 FM WAVA.
Making Money Sense with Larry Rosenthal is heard Saturday mornings at 9 on Life-Changing Talk Radio WAVA.
Lives change here. You're listening to 105.1 FM WAVA-FM and HD1 Arlington. Life change.